Hello and welcome to Nancy Goodame, the Space Ranger. This is chapter 28 of a total of 56. So, a hen is a doll, is a tree, and away we go.
Harumph, that crossbow has served you well, said the Geronimus Flomp.
Nancy was surprised by the statement for three reasons. She had thought the Flomp was sleeping, she had silently armed her crossbow, she had never spoken about using it.
Remember, the glimp you are about to meet won't be killed easily.
So be patient.
Hey, did you hear that? It sounded like clack, clack, clack. I could be wrong, but that's the sound of a cantabular glimp, isn't it, Flomp? Hey, did you hear that?
Question came from the voice of a Jupiterian named Gravin Habindon. He was perched on a high seat facing forwards on the outside of a barrel wagon known locally as the Flomp Wagon. The wagon was winding its way through the stormy hills between Kuladov to Bondrazna and had a Geronimus Flomp and European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy Goodame McGinley as passengers. The clack, clack, clack was repeating itself at regular intervals.
You said earlier that the sound a glimp makes is hatching, 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 noted the Flomp. Which means you are now listening to something else. Unless you were wrong.
I wasn't wrong. I was talking about a phalanticon earlier, which is like a glimp, only it goes hatching, 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 not clack, clack, clack. Can either of you two hear clack, clack, clack?
Yes, replied Nancy.
Yes, replied the Flomp. But it is still far away. It will almost certainly rip us into chunks when it gets nearer. But that won't be for a short while, so there is no need for us to be afraid.
What are you talking about, Flomp? Now is the best time to be afraid. It's no use being afraid when a glimp is shredding your flesh. If we turn now, we would make it back to cool it off before nightfall and be safe.
That is where you are wrong, Gravin. A fear can become your limit unless you face it. And there's hardly a Jupiterian alive that would willingly want a vicious claw-headed monster to become their limit. Besides which, like I said, we have time. Now whisht for a minute, will you? I want to talk to Nancy about something.
Gravin said the word, "But!" and poked his head inside the barrel wagon. The seat he was perched on was outside the only window in the wagon, which took up the top third of the front end of the wagon. The window gave a view of everything immediately in front and the driving seat and arse of whoever was steering the wagon. The Geronimus Flomp was seated just underneath the window, and Nancy was seated on blankets further back in the wagon, nearer to the only door, which was at the rear.
But couldn't you still chat to Nancy as we head away from the glimp?
Yes, said the Flomp. I could do lots of things. But what of it? Will you just turn around and watch the trail? If we keep rolling forward with your head staring in at me and Nancy, then the glimp is going to find his lunch scrambled in the wreckage of what used to be a wagon.
Gravin said a third, "But!" shrugged, stuck his head back out of the window and faced forward once again, so only his arse and the surrounding rocky slopes of the stormy hills were visible out of the window.
Your friend Bart is headed for Shanlabafeshtin, you know, said the Flomp.
What? Nancy had not expected to hear the name Bart. She had largely forgotten of his existence, and the fact that he was on Jupiter. And the Flomp's mentioning of his name came as a shock.
What?
She said again.
Shanlabafeshtin. It's a damp and boggy place, which is very unusual for Jupiter, especially on this side of the planet. Most of the water doesn't hang around, and usually ends up flowing into the Sea of Uncertainty.
Sorry, not Shanlab, the boggy place you're talking about. I meant what? Bart, my friend Bart.
Bart McMorrow, mission specialist Bart McMorrow, from the European Space Agency, on Earth. Is there more than one?
No, not that I know.
Then that's the Bart, and he's headed for Shanlabafeshtin, with a ladder that makes him appear insignificant in the thoughts and minds of all living creatures. Except robots.
Right.
Yes, that is right. And the irony of that is he should not factor in the plans and calculations of machines.
But he does.
Very much so. For one robot in particular. STRFZB 3158.
STRFZB 3158?
Yes. How do you know this, robot?
I don't.
The way you said that made me think you did. Stop confusing things, will you, Nancy? There is no need to repeat the things I have said to me. I already know them.
Okay, but what's this about Bart and the robot?
It wants to kill him and every other living thing. And it won't stop until it has both of those tasks completed. So Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow of the European Space Agency is going to need your help, Nancy.
What should I do?
You should get to Shan Labafeshtin before robot SBRFZB3158 does.
What is it, Gravin?
The flomps.
What is it, Gravin?
Question was prompted by the re-entry through the window of the head of Gravin, Habondon. It was red, had a furrowed brow, and was nodding anxiously between Nancy and the flomp. The nodding towards Nancy seemed to indicate a wish for her to do something to persuade the flomp to agree to do something. The nodding towards the flomp seemed to express frustration.
I can't have your glimp, and probably our deaths. Can you not hear clack, clack, clack getting louder? It's a well-known fact that when the noise of things gets louder, then they're getting closer to you. Or you to them. I don't care if this is your wagon or not, flomp. I'm going to turn it around.
You will do no such thing, Gravin. The glimp is still a bit away, which gives me a chance to talk more with Nancy. If you were afraid, then you should try and be in the moment. Remember that fear keeps us focused on the past and afraid of the future.
Of course it is, because in the past Cantabular glimps have mangled and consumed Jupiterians. Then in the future we're going to meet one who will probably do the same to us.
That is not being in the moment, Gravin. You must try harder. Start by sticking your head back out the window and looking forward. That is the direction we are travelling, and it pays to watch where you are going. It is a form of being in the moment. It is no use for any of us for you to watch where you are going in the past or in the future. You need to do it now to be useful. Gravin threw one last try to do something to persuade the flomp to agree to turn around look at Nancy and stuck his head back out the window. Now, Shan Labafeshtin is not an easy place to find if you set out to find it. Bart did not set out to find it. Actually, I am not sure what he set out to do. It's possible he doesn't know what he set out to do either. Some Jupiterians can be like that. It's probably the same with European Space Agency mission specialists. In any case, Shan Labafeshtin is where he is headed, and the murderous automaton named STRFZB3158 is following him. Slowly. Very slowly, in fact. All the STR robots on the McClasper, Clasperbrone, Forest of Proverbs run are clumsy and slow on land. They were really just built for water, and the wobbly legs that they have were more of an afterthought to deal with the short trips in and out of storage sheds. Still, STRFZB3158 is well capable of murdering your friend Bart, and every other living thing, given the right circumstances.
Clack! Clack! Clack!
Gravin's head appeared at the window. He was still seated on the bench with his arse visible and his upper body twisted. His eyes were wide.
Folks, there's something on the road up ahead. I think it's the glimp.
How far up the road? Asked the flomp.
16, maybe 17 rovalized cumatons.
That's far.
It's not.
What sort of circumstances would it take for the robot to be able to murder Bart? Asked Nancy.
Have you ever jumped 16 rovalized cumatons, Gravin? And by the way, that is rhetorical, because you haven't, because you couldn't. No Jupiterian could. So 16 rovalized cumatons is far, said the flomp. I don't know, Nancy, although killing a Bart McMorrow would be easier than killing every living thing. It'd probably just involve getting close enough to clamp shut his exterior airway, or ossify his anterior vestibule. So I suppose circumstances where STRFZB3158 comes into close contact with Bart would be the sort of circumstances needed for it to murder Bart. Continued the flomp.
Clack! Clack! Clack!
Gravin's panicked head shot back out of the window.
I'm turning us around! He yelled.
You'd be wasting your time, noted the flomp. The glimp has almost certainly heard us. The best thing to do would be to either sit perfectly still and silent or kill it, depending on which was the most convenient. One thing is for sure, you shouting and flustering like that is going to make full sure we are noticed. So maybe start with being a bit more quiet. And anyways, 16 rovalized cumatons is a good distance, so we're safe enough for now.
I need to warn Bart, said Nancy.
That won't be easy. First, you'll need to find Shan Labafeshtin, which, like I said, is not an easy place to find. And then you'll need to find Bart.
who is using magic to make himself insignificant. And Jupiter is a big place. Clack, clack, clack.
The glimpse definitely seen us, or heard us, or whatever it is glimpsed through with a tui. Look out in front. Its giant claw is unclosed and pointing towards us.
Whisht, Gravin. I'm talking to Nancy about Shan Lava Faceshine and magic and robots and European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrows. There'll be plenty of time for talking about Cantabular Glimpse shortly. In fact, we'll have no choice about it. But will you just be quiet for the moment?
Click, click, click. Quiet! How can I be quiet? We're all going to die!
That is true, Gravin, and always has been. And well, you know it. Every living thing knows it. Death is part of life, like night is part of day. I don't see why you were suddenly so upset about it.
Because there's a giant flesh-eating beast up the road getting ready to tear us to pieces!
There probably is. Well, you should know never to interrupt a story. Where did you go to school?
Cool it off, I wouldn't normally interrupt Flop, but coming face to face with a glimper, or whatever you call a claw thing between a glimp's shoulders, it's not a normally time!
Clack, clack, clack.
I'm gone, folks!
The wagon ground to a halt. Nancy watched as Gravin Habondon's legs and arse swung out of the high seat visible outside the front window of the barrel wagon and moved from view. She listened as panic footsteps skittered pebbles and pounded around the wagon before fading away somewhere to the rear of it. Nancy glanced at the wagon door behind her.
Clack! Clack! Clack!
Came the sound. It came from directly in front of the wagon. It was loud.
Good! Said the flop. Now that fella is gone, I can get back to telling you about Shan Lava Faceshine and robot STRFZB3158 and your friend Bart.
Shouldn't we leave too? Asked Nancy.
I think we should leave too. You shouldn't always do what you think. Sometimes it is best to do what you feel. Sometimes, mind, not always. Anyways, Shan Lava Faceshine is hard to find. Robots hate the place. So you think your friend Bart will be safe from one there. But STRFZB3158 is not an average robot. Actually, it is. But it is more average than every other robot, which makes it unique. It makes it every robot. And when every robot takes it as its function to kill all living things, then it is unique. And a dangerous thing.
Clack, clack, clack.
The sound was very loud, echoing up the rock embankments around the wagon. Nancy could no longer tell which direction the clack, clack, clack was coming from, only that it was close. She gripped her crossbow.
Don't worry. You armed that weapon at the end of the last chapter. All that remains is for you to fire it into the anterior vestibule of a Cantabular Glimp, and all will be well, said the flamp.
Clack, clack, clack.
Nancy stood up from the blankets where she had been sitting and reached to open the door of the wagon.
Wait, you haven't heard the story with Bart.
Nancy paused. Something told her that it was important she knew Bart's story, but she also knew it was important that she stay away from the glimpse claw.
Hurry up! You can hear the story properly, with all the details, or you can hear it quickly, with bits missing. But you can't hear it properly with bits missing.
Clack, clack, clack.
The sound was now so close and loud that it shook the barrel wagon.
Tell me quickly, for God's sake!
God?
I don't know, the Bongerlon, whatever, just tell me the story. Clack, clack, clack.
I don't see what the creator of the universe and European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow have in common. I hope we are thinking of the same person. Anyway, I better tell you his story quickly as the glimp is almost upon us.
Clack, clack, clack.
Bart will meet three strangers in Shan Lava Faceshine, and he will need to kill two of them. He won't want to do it, but you will need to persuade him to.
Clack, clack, clack. What three strangers? Why does he have to kill two of them?
The answers to your questions are in the longer story. This is the quick version, the version you wanted, which is lucky, as it's all we have time for.
Clack, 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 flang!
The curved metal roof of the barrel wagon disappeared from the top of the wagon and crashed against an upper section of slope. Nancy found herself standing in a stationary roofless wagon on a gravel slope in between two steep rock walls. The sky was blue and bright, and there was a large claw-headed extraterrestrial monster standing 2 feet from the front of the wagon.
Clack! Clack! Clack!
Several shards of torn metal were embedded into the creature's giant claw. It had clearly taken a considerable effort for the creature to rip off the metal roof of the wagon, and the creature looked to be slightly winded from the effort. It leaned against one of the steep rock slopes. Nancy felt a fleeting burst of panic and an even shorter urge to run, and then relaxed. She took a long, slow breath. What now, Flomp? The Flomp remained seated at the end of the wagon. It looked towards the momentarily winded Glimp, and then back at Nancy. Several of its hobobulous splines extended and waved gently in the direction of the Glimp. The what is you doing away with our destructive visitor? Then now is the time for you to do it. Nancy was briefly distracted by the Flomp's casual approach to their predicament. It was only for an instant, but that instant gave the Glimp all the time it needed to recover its wind and leap into the roofless barrel wagon. It did so before Nancy could raise, aim and fire a bolt from her crossbow. Nancy tried to jump away. The massive size difference between herself and the Glimp meant that close combat would be fatal. Her plan was to put enough distance between herself and the monster for her weapon to be useful. A massive jarring blow from the claw of the Glimp sent her crashing against the back wall and entrance to the wagon. The impact of her body against the wooden door splintered it free of its hinges. Nancy tumbled out through the gap the door left behind and fell sideways onto the gravel path at the rear of the wagon.
That was lucky, yelled the Flomp. The Glimp meant to snap you in two.
Nancy didn't reply. She tried to stand. A flash of white filled her vision.
Where am I?
Lying on your back inside the Flomp wagon. You were knocked out. The Glimp hit you with a blow that sent you tumbling back in here.
The Glimp? How long was I out? Where is the Glimp?
You were out for less than an instant. The Glimp is outside catching its breath. I think it's an old one. It's tried twice to snap you in two and missed both times.
Nancy sat up. She somehow still had hold of the crossbow. She was back inside the roofless barrel wagon near the front. The Flomp was sitting in a corner close to her.
Why haven't you tried to escape?
I wanted to see the Great Space Ranger kill a Glimp.
Who is the Great Space Ranger?
You are. At least I hope you are. If you're not, we're both in trouble.
A loud clack, clack, clack sounded, and the Glimp leapt into the wagon. It landed just inside the broken and missing door, which put it facing the seated Flomp and Nancy.
Be patient, Nancy, warned the Flomp.
Nancy lifted her crossbow. She carefully aimed it. The Glimp made to lunge, wobbled, and leaned an appendage against the right side wall of the wagon. It looked to be out of puff again.
Not yet, Nancy, advised the Flomp.
The Glimp stood to its full height and opened the massive claw occupying the space between its shoulders.
Take your time, Nancy, hissed the Flomp. Actually, sorry, what am I doing? You are the hero. This is your story. Far be it from me to tell the great Nancy Goodaim, Space Ranger, how to save the day. Flunk!
The crossbow bolt shot into an opening at the hinge of the Glimp's massive open claw.
Thunk! Splunk!
Another bolt followed it, and a spurt of green sludge spattered against the seated Flomp and Nancy. The Glimp collapsed into a heap. Nancy stood up, walked over to the lifeless Glimp, and retrieved two crossbow bolts from its corpse.
You have a good aim, Nancy. Now I see how you got your name. Anyways, you better be off. Your friend European Space Agency Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow needs your help.
Nancy looked around at the badly damaged barrel wagon, the dead Glimp, the seated Flomp, and the surrounding bare rocky slopes.
How will I find him?
She asked.
No idea, replied the Flomp. I leave that with you.
But where is he? You never explained.
I gave you the quick version, with bits missing, which is exactly what you asked for.
But I have time for the long version now.
What's told is told. And I'm not sure you do have time. Your friend needs you. And I need to get the wagon sorted. You should go on ahead. We're not far from Bundrasna, but I need to wait for Graven Habondon to come back up and help. And I've no idea how long it will take for his skinflint instinct to overcome his cowardly instinct and send him scrambling back up here to see if his Alderaan crystal shard can be salvaged.
Nancy nodded. The wagon was well and truly broken. The Flomp did not have the appearance of a creature that could move at any sort of speed. Nancy nodded at the Flomp and climbed out through the space where the door into the barrel wagon had been. She then walked around to the front of the wagon, nodded to the Flomp for a second time, and began climbing the steep, narrow gravel trail that led away from the Flomp, wagon, and dead Glimp.
Good luck, Space Ranger, called the Flomp.
And that was it for the afternoon of the fourth day of the first human expedition to another planet. European Space Agency Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow, en route to Shan Lava 15, an army of noobs, a broken flomp wagon, the last remaining copy of the Book of Bongerlung adrift on the Sea of Uncertainty, a bloodthirsty spontaniger transportation robot, a space ranger, and her crossbow on Jupiter.
All right, folks, thank you if you listened to that. The story will continue next week or the week after with chapter 29. Slán.